Blog Talk Radio.
On Blog Talk Radio. It is a gorgeous, oh, just a beautiful spring morning. The birds are chirping, the leaves are beginning to bud on the trees, and there's St. Jazz in the background, the smell of incense, and of course, still sipping on some strong coffee. But nonetheless, I will say I'm super excited about today's show. So welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Charmaine. And today, I always say we're going to jump in. And then once I start jumping in, I'm thinking a part two and part three. And I'm already going to say it. I think there's going to be at least a part two. So on today's show, the show topic for today is Charmaine talks relationship longevity and myths. And I will tell you why I got a little bit inspired to do this show. And I threw out this polling question just randomly. I polled maybe about 20 of my close friends, and I got responses from about 14, 15 people, and it was random. And when I say random, I wasn't thinking of, you know, the sex of the person or the sexual orientation of the person or the marital status of the person. I do believe, though, I will say these are midlife adults, right? So anywhere from late 40s, mid-40s, about maybe early 60s, could be late 50s. So, and that's just because I know that's the range of the friends that I have. So I actually threw that out, and I was super excited to start getting responses, like just like so. The responses were coming in. They were coming in, like, literally quickly. And so here's the question. How often does your partner, which could mean a girlfriend, lover, wife, boyfriend, husband, significant other, other half, or whatever terminology you use to identify your intimate relationship in your situation, right? So how often does that person flirt with you throughout the day or the week? So as the responses were coming in, it opened up a door for a discussion on relationship myths, longevity, and how couples cope during COVID-19. So these are the little things, right? So we'll try to touch on, we'll talk sex, intimacy, friendship, passion, and then, of course, how individuals can strengthen their relationships through communication and contact. I definitely believe that communication and contact is the way to ensure that you are staying fully connected with your significant other or loved one in your relationship, right? However you deem that to be. So while the responses came in, right, and some of them were, and I literally jotted some down right before the show, but some of the responses were, I have no one to flirt with. A couple of them, I have none. Their responses like, I'm waiting for him to find me so I can flirt with him and vice versa. One person who's currently single said that how much they really love, and just thinking about past relationships, they're loving to be touched and held and whispered to and flirted with. One person is absolutely, that is exactly how we survive, having a long-distance relationship, and so every chance he gets. And then, of course, one that totally cracked me up and humored me, and it was so funny, I thought, but not, it was, maybe it was funny because sometimes things hit a chord with us or with other people that you know, but hey, even if it's the borrowed man, a few times is good enough. And so it lends me to believe and to know, of course, and to take a peel back and look and just to recognize that one of the major factors that affect our relationships and our intimate relationships, because that's what I'm talking about today, right, is a lack of communication. And you find that especially during this time, during this COVID-19 period that we're still going through, communication and contact can tend to suffer, right? Not just with our intimate partners, but with the other people around us. So we're not having that physical contact. And so if we're not having that physical contact, especially if you are in a long-distance relationship, and you're not traveling to meet and see each other, or even if you're living with the person in your marriage or your living situation, one person may get sick and the physical contact isn't there, or the fear of physical, even if you know, and both of you know that the person is well, it, you know, the fear of COVID and the physical contact and the what if, and what if that person is asymptomatic. There's not so much of a physical contact where you're kissing or you're making love or you're touching one another. A lot of times I think people walk around and still think, okay, stay 6 feet away from me. And it has begun to wear on our daily lives. We begin to buy into that psychologically and how much it impacts our relationship, right? So let's talk first about our physical contact and physical relationship. To try, because I'm so over the place sometimes, but I'm going to try to narrow it back to the polling question, right? How a partner flirt with you throughout the day or throughout the week? I will say an average that came in was 2 to 5 times, and it's 2 to 5 times a day and some 2 to 5 times a week. And I feel like it all depends on how each individual recognized flirting, how each individual defined flirting or defined that flirting. And we can always say that, well, you know, it could just be something in passing. It could just be, you know, well, whenever we talk on the phone or text or are together physically, whether it's that that touch or whatever, you know, that touch, that voice, that compliment, whatever it is. So I am going to actually go ahead and just say this, and I will say, when I think about flirting, and that's for myself, it is not only because you expect something from someone. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion because I think everybody feels differently, in my opinion, it is a very healthy thing to do, right? And we find and we know that it's very healthy to flirt with your partner. Like I said, if you're in the same house with them, it doesn't matter. If you're in a different house with them than them, it doesn't matter. If you remain in that space, and what I like to think about it as staying infatuated and staying stimulated, right? Because sometimes too much of the same can get a little boring. And too much of the same when everything's so predictable, you find that even if it's not a naturally occurring physical condition with your body, your libido kind of definitely go down, right? And that's why I think sometimes when we're out and about, we actually to be flirted with. I know I do. I don't mind at all, because I don't think that because someone gives you a compliment on anything or just a wink or a smile or say hello, I don't think that to necessarily go to bed with you. And vice versa, when I flirt with someone, whether I'm out and about at the supermarket or whatever, stoplight, and you happen to lock eyes with someone, it's a smile. You know, it's a nod of, well, you look cute, you look good. It's because I feel like it makes us feel good. And maybe because I'm one of those touchy-feely kind of people, I always go with how does this make me feel? And if it's something that makes me feel good, if it's something that stimulates me in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to want more of the same. I'm going to enjoy that moment and want more of the same. But if it makes me feel good, sometimes I feel like, well, I'm sure it makes the other person feel good. So sometimes it really is just literally a connection that you want to make with someone or that you've inevitably made with someone. It could be a complete stranger. Most times it is a complete stranger with nothing other than this feels good. You know, you're admiring something, someone, or there is a kind of emotional connection in the moment, because that is who we are, right? And that's what we are, right? So when you think about flirting and the definition of it, really just the regular Google-ish definition of it, to behave as though you're attracted to or trying to attract someone, but for amusement rather than with serious intention, right? So for amusement rather than with serious intentions. So serious intention. You know, this feels good, we're attracted, we're expressing that, and it's so amazing. If you're married to, or you're in a long-term or long-term relationship with someone, continue to flirt. I said to, when I got answers back, and what up, you know, someone asked me, well, what about me? And I feel like for me, I was like, I still flirt, I believe I do. I mean, I know, but sometimes it's not because I'm looking for something from my husband, right? And I literally was very candid, and I said, maybe I don't flirt so much because my kind of flirt, a lot of times when I have the intention of something serious, I just get straight to the point, and I just say, hey, want a cookie or something like that. So I feel like if I flirt, it is going to lead to something serious. So I will keep that for when we're passing each other, or we're downstairs, or we're interacting, or we're going out, or whatever. And flirting can just literally necessarily also, for me, mean a kind word, a kind compliment. Really, they'll always say, wow, you look great. Wow, you know, that looks great on you. Wow, honey, you look, you know, fabulous for, you always miss. And I always want to mention that I'm 3 years older, and that's okay. This is really a compliment, keeping up with the young ones. But you have to, in your relationship, continue to act as if you are trying to attract your partner still, and that you want to enjoy the amusement that comes along with it, the amusement, the feel-good feeling, the knowing that you already have something very special, right? And the other definition is to experiment with or show a superficial interest in an idea or an activity without committing yourself seriously, right? So the other definition, experiment with or show an interest in. So we all know what it means to flirt and what it means to be flirtatious, right? But sometimes we can look at it as in a negative way. Too many times I feel like a lot of us tend to put a negative connotation around anything that has to do with our sexuality, our bodies, our physical, emotional, spiritual, and sexual connection to each other as human beings. Now, I will say, some of us having a partner or someone else that you flirt with, right? Or someone else that's in your life. Now, you know, you might chop my head off to say that, but I am very open and open-minded. I understand that the relationship that you may be in may completely satisfy you in all ways. And that's good in all ways. And that's amazing. Some people are very fortunate in life to be able to find that one person that is their lover, their companion, their life partner, their stronghold, their everything to them. And that person continues to stimulate them and to stay infatuated and keep them going. And some people maybe not so much. And some people maybe that's why, not maybe, that is why there are divorces, there are people that. Okay. So when you flirt, that is your language of connect, whether on a serious level or on a superficial level. But once you begin to lose that connection in your to go downhill. So I will say that in order to literally, if it's a relationship, one of us, we've got to evaluate and identify, right? What about this relationship that I love? How does being in this relationship make me feel? What is it that I am looking for from my relationship, right? And so if you can answer, for the most part, a huge of that that makes you really feel good and that's satisfying all of your desires and vice versa, then, yeah, you want to stay there. You want to work on the, I wouldn't say shortcomings, but I would say you want to work on the areas of opportunity within your relationship, right? So you want to decipher what's important to you at this juncture in your life. And you always have to reevaluate and self-reflect, number one, on your own self, and number two, reflect on your marriage, right, or your relationship. Well, a relationship is a marriage. So I will just say relationship, and it will cover all of it, right? So what you wanted and dreamt about and desired when you were in your early 20s or your mid-20s and got married, whether early, mid, late 20s, 30s, whatever that looks like, that desire and that need that you had is definitely completely maybe, all right, one of those, right, different than it is now or today when you're in your 50s and going into your 60s and maybe 70s, right? It is going to change. For me, one of the things that I feel good about or enjoy or desire or like helps me feel grounded is that feeling of security, right, with my husband or in my relationship, that feeling of I have nothing to worry about, right? And so that actually does make me feel good. Now, I do see, I'm not sure if there's a caller on the line, but I will go ahead and make that live and see if there are any questions out there. Good morning. Thank you for joining Charmaine on the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. I see you listening. I don't know if you have a question, caller.
Yes. Hi, Charmaine. This is Dr. Pastor Kent Hopper. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you doing today, Pastor? Do you have a question for me?
Yes, I do. About relationships. Mm-hmm. You see, I, as a pastor, don't have many relationships in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. I, at one time, had a long relationship with a woman, and it ended abruptly. And now I found the Word of God, and maybe you should too, Charmaine.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for that, and I really appreciate that. Now, how is that relationship doing now? Because you said you've had many relationships and they've ended. Can you maybe elaborate or just say what made that happen? What did you identify in your own self or in that relationship that you felt that ended? Because you mentioned that you've had several relationships.
My last relationship with a woman was back in 1974.
And oh, wow.
We have, yes, it has been almost 50 years since I have been with a woman. Wow. When you think about that, that is a very long time for me to be by myself. But she was a bad person. She cheated on me, and I felt betrayed by her actions and gave up on women because she was a very bad person.
Wow.
Yes.
You definitely have triggered something that I'm going to touch on, and I definitely have been triggered to talk about this on another show, because to be in that space of loneliness, and it has been 50 years, because you felt betrayed by someone, 1974, that's a long time. 50 years is almost as old as I am, right? So, or I am, you know, so to end a relationship abruptly because you felt betrayed or someone you felt cheated on you. And so you've spent those years in that space. Do you feel like you have forgiven and moved on? Or you are just content with being in the space that you are now? And how does that feel in that space of loneliness? I just can't imagine.
I have a flock. So I am not really a lonely person. Right now am actually calling from my church. And this has been a terrible experience that for 47 years I have not been able to overcome. But let me say this. This is from the good book, Moses, chapter 4, verses 17. You will leave my country of Egypt, and you will not feel another plague from God. Yes, leave Ramesses, leave Egypt, and let my people go. Yes,
yeah,
please.
And yeah, well, thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I definitely feel like forgiveness, especially from someone who has a flock like you have and, you know, said you have found the Word of God. And what does that look like? What does that feel like? And what does forgiveness feel like? So I wish you all the best with whatever your endeavors are. And I hope that very soon that you'll find to be able to, you know, forgive and let go and definitely get in that space, whatever it is for you that works. So thank you so much for calling. Continue to listen to the show. Wow, that was amazing. And what I find amazing in that, when you talk about relationships and what that looks like and what that feels like, there's so many aspects of it. Here I have a caller who, you know, has ended a relationship for 47 years and has never, I would say, found love, not necessarily in his words, but haven't really moved past that from what I was hearing or for what that short discussion was. And I feel like it's so important. I asked this question also the other day, gosh, do I digress or do I digress? We'll definitely get back to this. I do have a couple of points that I want to bring up, but it's very important to me as a talk show host, if I have a caller who is interested in expressing themselves or having a question, I'm not going to be abrupt, even though it's a 30-minute show. So it's okay to digress sometimes because I feel like people want to be able to express themselves and their views, right, and where they're at. And probably because, I mean, not probably because I am a life coach and, of course, going through my doctorate in psychology. So it's really important to me. It's not just a talk show for chatter. So it was really nice engaging that gentleman, and just from the question and the term of his relationship and his sound, like he's an elderly person, and that always stabs me because I have friends who are in their 50s, maybe divorced, maybe not as you know, I'm just gonna never find love again or anything like that, but there are speckles of unforgiveness, and there is a, what would you call it, kind of like a prediction of loneliness, because sometimes I feel like when you cut off the relationships in your life that are so invaluable or the people that you have learned so much from or given so much, whether it is a father or mother of your children, your own children, different things like that. So when it comes to relationship and connection, that is very dear to my heart because I am a person of connection. So I know there's only a couple more minutes. I will definitely continue this on a part two show. And you can, when I wrap the show and send the link, you can inbox or send your questions or comments, and then we'll pick that up. But the polling question, how often does your partner connect with you on a physical, emotional, spiritual, and when I say physical, I'm going to put in their sexual way, because these are basic and necessary and important human desires that we all have. And so to shortchange ourselves in that aspect, right, we'll fade away, right? So stay infatuated, stay stimulated, stay connected, stay in communication and in contact during COVID. Find ways to make that long-distance relationship work. Flirt with your partner. Find ways to make your at-home relationship work. Flirt with your partner. Be there. Also, just going back to what the caller mentioned, just be sure that you have worked things out in your relationship. Some of us have certain relationships that we have a quiet reservation, and that is also blocking us from flirting with our partners and staying stimulated, staying infatuated. And it's also impacted and had a great impact on libido, our sex drive, and wanting to be with that person. I say do not shortchange yourself of these amazing desires and fulfilling those desires in your relationship. Flirt with each other, be there for each other, support one another, and forgive. And I will say, I did pose this question to someone, a couple of people, what does cheating look like? What is your definition of that? And as a gentleman said, I feel like, in my words, you cannot cheat on someone. You can only maybe cheat someone out of something that you're used to giving them. But if you continue to give that, forgiveness really is the most important aspect of our lives as human beings in order for us to literally move on, to be stuck for 20, 30, 40, 50, 70 years in the same place. Life passes you by. So connect with your partner. Make it exciting. Make it intimate. Make it passionate. Make it that friendship that you desire. And thank you so much for joining me on today's show. This is Charmaine on the Charmaine Show Blog Talk Radio. Look out for part two of Relationship, Longevity, and Myth. Thank you for calling, caller, and have a fantastic, fantastic day.